The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
You're very welcome back, and now we're going to The Last Word on Music with the regular contributors Dee Reddy and John Cadell. Small bit of indulgence here because I'm going to go straight to picks of the week, because John's pick of the week is Bob Dylan's Bootleg Series Volume 16, Springtime in New York.
That's right, Mick. Yeah, yeah. Dylan's 80s were largely considered to be pretty rum, certainly after Infidels and before Oh Mercy. So from 84 to 88, he was really bringing out what was generally considered to be some terrible stuff. But I think this release is going to go some way towards rehabilitating Dylan's 80s. It's a 7-disc set, the next, obviously, number 16 in the Bootleg series. And it's Dylan, basically Dylan from 1980 to 1985. Loads of outtakes, live rehearsals, live versions, including a track from Slane Castle in 84. But the meat of it for me is the, sort of the alternative versions and tracks that didn't make the albums. So what we're going to take, I think, is a version of a song that appeared on his 85 album Empire Burlesque, with sort of like synth drums, and it was poor. But this is a version that he recorded, and in true Bob style, who often doesn't know what the best things are to put in his albums, left this off Empire Burlesque for an inferior version. This version of When the Night Comes Falling from the Sky unmistakably features Steve Van Zandt and Roy Bittan from the E Street Band. You know what I'm saying as soon as you hear it.
The gravel road is bumpy, it's a hard old road to ride, but the clear road's up yonder with the cinders on the side. Trails of troubles, roads of battles, paths of victory, we shall walk.
Now, that obviously isn't the E Street Band on When the Night Comes Falling from the Sky.
John, you mentioned that some was taken from Slane in 1984. I have to confess to having been there as a very young lad. He already had a live album that had 3 or 4 tracks from that Slane gig as well.
He had Real Live,
Real
I think.
Live, yeah,
from, it was from his 1984 European tour.
Yeah.
But there's, I mean, what's on this Bootleg series, out of the 57 tracks, there's 54 of them previously unreleased. So only 3 or 4 of them, including the version of When the Night Comes Falling from the Sky, which we didn't hear. That was available on the Bootleg series, volume 1 to 3. Try and keep up. It's very sort of...
this is the most John Cadell pick of all time.
It is.
Well, and you've won his heart, Mick, by really leaning into it.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest with you, I'd have to be of a similar mind, I'm afraid, myself. You also mentioned that it has one of my, many favourite Dylan songs, Brownsville Girl.
Yeah.
You have a version of that on it.
From the much unloved 1986 album Knocked Out Loaded. The worst thing about the album probably is the cover. But he recorded a track called Brownsville Girl, which I also believe is Bono's favourite Bob Dylan song.
Is it?
I think it is.
Oh, God.
But there's always gems.
He wrote it with Sam Shepard.
He did. The playwright Sam Shepard. In all poor Dylan albums, there's always one or two gems. But that song appears on this Bootleg series in its what you might call demo form. It was originally called New Danville Girl, and that appears also on this. So there is an embarrassment of riches for
I'll have to get my hands on that.
All Bobcats.
I'll have to get my hands on that one way or the other. Dee, your pick of the week, The Glass Animals.
Yes, very different from John's. It is a brand new track from a current band, but that's okay. That's the way we like to balance things here. So this is the first new single we've heard from them in a while. They brought out their third album, Dreamland, last year, which was really, really well received. And this is the first new music that we've heard from them since. It is a single. It's called I Don't Want to Talk, I Just Want to Dance. And it's a bit of a groove.
Just a minute now, there's something different now. All the morning sounds, how's it all so loud? Put the flowers down, cause they look like clowns. Leave me to it then, and let your head grow out. I don't know, it's safe to say, nothing's perfect. Baby, I
Yeah, there's something in it, all right, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, now, to John's credit, he actually introduced me to Glass Animals when they brought out their first album, Zaba, in 2014, because he used to regularly schedule Gooey in our music playlist.
I did, back in TXFM, wasn't it? Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, great band and great to see them still bringing out great stuff.
Good stuff. No. News emerged, I think it was yesterday evening, that the Garrett Brooks sounds like he's in the form to have a run again at the notion of staging, I think it is, 5 concerts in Croke Park. Presumably, first of all, the tickets will fly out the door. Secondly, will he get the 5 gigs, or will there be another schmozzle about the whole thing?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, Croke Park already has planning permission for 3 in a year. And the Brooks team are expected to apply for a compliance certificate for those. And then they're expected to apply for an event license for the further 2 shows. But if that application doesn't happen, please tell me that we're not going to end up with the international ruckus that was Garth Gate back in 2014. And like, that was such a big thing that it even went on to inspire a theatre play by Fiona Loonley called Are You There, Garth? It's Me, Margaret. So, I mean, if that doesn't speak to what a big furore it was, I don't know what
Didn't
does.
Somebody at the time make a request for some senior US politician to make an intervention? Was it Barack
I think
Obama?
It was that Garth had said that he was willing to speak to then Taoiseach Enda Kenny and find a resolution, which is just madness when it comes to one act and one gig, or 2 gigs.
It was brought up in the Dáil and all at the time, I think. Yeah, I mean, no, hold on. Here's what we could be missing, or we might be waiting for.
To cause a big scene, just give me an hour and then we'll all be as high as that ivory tower that you're living on. Darn, I got a friend in low places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues. Slip on.
John, for somebody who has such affinity, or appears to such affinity with here, and who has such a massive fan base, he hasn't played here since 1997.
And I remember the gigs in 1997. I was working in a bar in, I think, in Phibsborough in 1997. And, like, people were just all day, both days, coming in and out, and the excitement and the great humour. I mean, I hope these 5 gigs go ahead. Because I think it's certainly the good news story we needed today. The only thing that would have made it better was if it was on a Monday. I mean, let these gigs happen. Although it must be terrible for the residents to wake up one morning and realise that there's a stadium next door.
But you get the well, that's a bit harsh now. But you get the impression that signalling it this far out is giving enough space there for to be worked out. An Irish solution for an Irish problem.
Yeah, they're feeling it. They've put the feelers out to see. See what.
And I mean, given 400,000, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Had to be refunded last time. You would think that without some idea of a clear path to this going ahead, that they wouldn't be signalling it, as you said.
Okay, and Nicki Minaj is saying that she'll get the COVID-19 vaccine once she feels she's done enough research.
Yeah, this is a funny one, right? So this unfolded to a kind of increasingly bizarre series of tweets from Nicki. It started off where she said, she was invited to the Met Gala, just to give the background on this. And then
I took this last night.
That's right. And she said that she didn't want to go because she didn't want to get vaccinated for an event. So basically she said, if I get vaccinated, it won't be for the Met. It'll be because I feel I've done enough research. I'm working on that now. In the meantime, my loves, be safe. Wear the mask with 2 strings that grip your head and face. Not that loose one. Fairly sound advice, and I can't really argue with her up to that point. Now, where the sort of chaos and hilarity ensued was a follow-up tweet that she put out yesterday where she says, "My cousin in Trinidad won't get the vaccine because his friend got it and became impotent. His testicles became swollen. His friend was weeks away from getting married now. The girl has called off the wedding. So just pray on it and make sure you're comfortable with your decision, not bullied." So while I agree with her on doing your own research, I think maybe a friend of a cousin who probably has maybe an STD isn't the best. Well, you can. Come on. There's doctors actually been tweeting that that's the most likely. Yeah. No, but I am messing. But like, you know, yes, by all means, do your own research. Mm. But like, it shouldn't be, you know, third hand research from a friend of a cousin who might be spoofing and probably is. And, you know, and I think the reason people have gotten so annoyed with her is she does have a platform of 22 million. Mm. So really not okay to be kind of tweeting misinformation like that.
Well, I don't know, like that, but that's the whole thing, isn't it? Like, you know, people tweet their opinions and the next thing, because they're popular, they're supposed to edit themselves at every opportunity, which I don't think is fair, you know. Like, people follow her because they like her. If she spews out an opinion, be it like incorrect or otherwise, you know, I don't.
But has she any responsibility there?
No, I don't think. No, I don't agree with. I don't think so at all. I don't think there should be any such thing as a role model in somebody who sings pop songs.
Well, there's a difference between a role model.
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between a role model and just knowing that. I mean, like her, like I said, her first tweet was on the money, and you know, she encouraged people to do research and to make the decision that was right for them. But when you follow up with but nonsense, misinformation.
But if people are going to take their
but they do, though.
But if they're going to take their cue on vaccines from Nicki Minaj, I mean, like.
But that's what that's
but,
what's
but
happening.
I mean, like, what's, you know, there's no real, you know, difference in her taking her cue from her cousin in Trinidad and somebody taking their cue from her because they trust her and they believe what she says.
Yeah,
but there is a difference to the extent that they probably trust her far more than she would.
Yeah,
her cousin
and there's
in Trinidad.
And there's more of them than just her. You know, like this. I mean, this actually went all the way up to the United States Center for Disease Control and Prevention, who had to come out and say that there was no evidence that the COVID-19 vaccines cause problems with fertility in women or men. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, I don't, you know, while I agree with you to a point, there's no, you know, I think she clearly knows the level of influence that she has, and it is, it's misguided
but,
at best.
Yeah, but if that's what she genuinely thinks at the time, you know, why shouldn't she tweet it? I mean, I don't think anybody should have to go, if I tweet this, I'm like, I've a big following, I don't know if I should tweet this in case somebody takes offence at it, or, you know, I don't think that she should be lambasted for giving her opinion.
I don't agree with you. I'd always subscribe to the thing that my mom used to say to us about writing something down. Like, don't write anything down that your worst enemy might use against you. You know, like, you are putting something out on a public platform. So, it, you know, it just makes good sense to be mindful of what's going to happen once you do that.
Okay. I suppose just a couple of people have texted in about Garrett Brooks. Garrett may have friends in low places, but hopefully in 5 places consecutively. And one other, maybe 2 separate weekend gigs for Garrett and show him some scenic spots for a few days. Or Páirc Uí Chaoimh and Cork. Now, there's a novel idea. Yeah. Back to, who did I see there? Prince. Oh, God, we won't go back into how far back that was.
Tell that listen, to Joe.
Far more importantly, Britney Spears is engaged.
Yes, and this is important. We've been covering this a lot over the last few months. She's been really bogged down in the controversy around her conservatorship. And one of the things that she did say was that the terms of the arrangement had prevented her from marrying her now fiancé, Mr. Ashgari, or having more kids. So in the last week alone, she's announced her engagement, and her father has filed papers in Los Angeles court to end the current conservatorship.
Yeah.
Now,
we're happy for Britney.
Yeah, we are.
We're happy. Very happy. John, I'm sure you'll be delighted to know that Coldplay have confirmed they're going to have a collaboration with BTS, the K-pop superstar.
Yeah, well, see, I'd be now a fan of Dynamite by BTS. I'm a big fan of Coldplay as well, much to Matt's chagrin. But I have to say there is a major stench of trendy uncle off this. Coldplay collaborating with BTS, trying desperately to stay relevant and to introduce themselves to a new audience. It's a just a bit icky.
It is,
it's
isn't
just
it?
A bit like have yeah. a bit have a bit more like faith in your own
more
abilities.
Respect for yourself.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm, you know, nothing against BTS because Christ knows the army will come after you. But it's just a bit, it doesn't seem sort of like a natural thing. It just seems a bit put together and Coldplay looking to, you know, enter new markets. And
but it feels like it's put together by a marketing team on both sides.
Yeah.
Nothing new there. Nothing new there. Okay. D-Ready, John Cadell, thank you both very much for joining us for The Last Word on Music.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.